Ramsey TV.
50 Shades of Grey is pornography, ladies. Yes, it is. Don't be too quick to judge your husbands. Don't shoot the messenger either, thank you. And concerning the Aquila and Priscilla issue, I was entertaining that again. It's kind of funny to me. Someone comes up to Paul, says, "Paul, you're going to believe this, Aquila, he's quite the artist, you know, he's very good." And, well, he drew this, well, very intimate portrait of Priscilla. "What are you going to do about it, Paul?" Again, Paul, are you kidding me? I got some lady screwing a horse over here. I got a guy screwing his relative. I got 50 guys in Corinth visiting cult prostitutes. You're bothering me with this? Paul, you mean you don't care? At which point, Paul might have said, do you have a copy of it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Paul was a man. There's no harm in looking. Welcome to MCTV. I'm Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, obviously, proving that every day in high fashion. So today, to end the week, I'm going to get into the most controversial, more controversial than pornography and alcohol. Martin, how's it possible? Well, because I'm going to talk about factions, dissensions, and sects. Now, I believe here, no, not sex. Already talked about that. Sects, S-E-C-T-S, that is divisions. And I believe here we're specifically looking at dissensions, factions, and sects within the body of Christ having to do with teaching. Several people brought up to me in light of the recent issue with the pre-existence of Christ versus the non-pre-existence of Christ. Martin, you said that those who were pushing for the non-pre-existence of Christ, that Jesus Christ did not exist before his birth in Bethlehem. He did not create everything. Everything did not come into existence through him and out of God. He is not the firstborn of all creation. Martin, you said that was a sect. So Martin says right here that those pushing sects, not those words exactly, but those committing sects will not have an allotment in the body of Christ. What do you say about that, Martin? Well, I'm going to say it today. But before I do, I must say this. Everything I'm going to say from now on, unless I say otherwise, this is my opinion. I'm not willing to say that what I'm about to tell you is hard fact. I don't know for sure, but I will give you my honest opinion, what I think, based on everything I know about what Paul says here and elsewhere, and having been a member of the body of Christ for over 30 years, my experience dealing with the body of Christ and the issues therein, and having very intimate connection with teaching. Now, first we have to decide what qualifies as a sect. How bad does the teaching have to be before it becomes a sect? Let's define one of the terms here. I want to define the term dissension. Dissent, according to the dictionary, is the expression or holding of opinions at variance with those previously, commonly, or officially held. That is dissent, and it is the root word of dissensions. We had a group of people dissenting from the previously, commonly, and officially held understanding that Jesus Christ pre-existed his birth in Bethlehem. And we, those of us who believe that, have 27 verses that we believe prove it. But there were dissenters from that. But how do we know that the dissenters are wrong and those who hold the belief that Jesus Christ did pre-exist his birth in Bethlehem are right? Well, of course, the ultimate arbiter is Scripture. And there's something to be said for commonly or officially held beliefs. Now, I'm not talking about Christianity because we know the common beliefs, the officially held beliefs in Christianity are generally wrong. We're talking about commonly or officially held beliefs among the mature, among serious, mature, body of Christ scholars. The premier of whom was Paul, it's a belief that has come to be well understood by the mature, by the scholars, due to a thorough and rigorous inquiry into and testing of Scripture. For instance, the salvation of all is a commonly officially held belief of the body of Christ, of the mature body of Christ. The sovereignty of God, a commonly officially held belief based on Scripture. It was also held by Paul. The salvation of all was held by Paul. The sovereignty of God was held by Paul. And of course, the Trinity being a false teaching, Christ being the Son of God, Christ being the firstborn, Christ being the origin of the creation of God. In this case, whether you believe he pre-existed his birth in Bethlehem or came into existence only at Bethlehem, the fact that Christ was the Son of God and not God himself, that's a commonly held, officially held belief of mature scholarly saints. So we're not talking about officially held common beliefs of the Christian religion. I hope to make that clear. So those who would dissent from the salvation of all would believe in eternal torment. Those who would dissent from the doctrine of the sovereignty of God would believe in free will. And those who would dissent from the teaching that Jesus Christ is, as he claimed to be, the Son of God, would be Trinitarians. Those are clear dissensions to all of us. And if there's someone in the body of Christ who believes in the in eternal torment. Now, there are some members of the body of Christ that think such a person would not even be in the body of Christ, that a belief in eternal torment would disqualify one from being in the body of Christ. I don't hold that opinion because I believe 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the belief that Christ died for our sins, I believe that's a personal salvation. As terrible as the doctrine of eternal torment is, and as much as I hate it, looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, strictly, I can't say that that would disqualify one from being in the body of Christ. Certainly, I can't say that that would disqualify one from being in the body of Christ, but certainly because of this passage of Paul, we can say that that is a dissension, that is a sect. Anyone in the body of Christ holding to eternal torment, and maybe they draw two or three people unto them, that is a sect. They're going against the commonly officially held belief. Now, how do you measure a sect? Well, we can look at Paul to get an idea of the standard. Paul talks about two gentlemen, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerve as to the truth, teaching that the resurrection has already occurred and they were subverting the faith of some of the saints. That would be a sect. The people who held to the Hymenaeus and Philetus position that the resurrection has already occurred. How they could hold that, I don't know. Whether they might have thought that the resurrection was figurative. It has already occurred and now they're everybody's figuratively resurrected in some way. Or the alternative would be the resurrection already occurred and they all missed it. I tend to hold the former, that they didn't believe it was literal, And they believed that it occurred in some way metaphorically, and that they were all now resurrected people. And Paul says, that is ridiculous. Paul says, shun these guys. And the fact that Paul takes that action tells me that that was a dissenting opinion. It was against the commonly or officially held belief, that is official according to Paul. And that would be a sect. And anyone who stayed in that group would be disqualified from having an allotment. They would still be in the body of Christ, but no allotment, because Paul says in Galatians 5:19, it's one of the works of the flesh, factions, dissensions, and sects. And I'm tending to think that those who create a faction or a dissension or a sect, their interest, this is where my opinion comes in. This is just my opinion, is to draw people to themselves, to somehow stand out. Like, we're going to dissent. We're going to dissent from the main view. We're going to be radicals. We're going to be mavericks. We're going to be part of the avant-garde. And if you're cool and if you want to be different, why, you follow this new teaching. That's how I see it. But how bad does a teaching have to be in order to qualify as a dissension or a sect? I have developed a test. I call it the AFL-CIO test. Now, you may have thought in the past that if you're a citizen of the United States, that stood for the American Federation of Labor or the Congress of Industrial Organizations, that is unions. But no, AFL-CIO, I have given it a new acronym. AFL, now standing for Absolutely Fucking Ludicrous. And CIO, standing for Christ is Offended. So that's my test of a sect. I'll say it one more time, and then from henceforth, I will refer to it as AFL-CIO. AFL, Absolutely Fucking Ludicrous. AFL. CIO, Christ is Offended. Does the doctrine of eternal torment fit that? Of course it does. AFL, CIO, big time. Free will, of course. The Trinity, yes, Christ is very offended at that. And it's AFL because 1 plus 1 plus 1 does not equal 1. So those are dissensions from the main body of teaching, what is accepted in the mature body of Christ, which started with Paul and the scriptures that he wrote via the Spirit of God. Now, does the teaching that Christ did not pre-exist fit AFL? Oh, yes, it does. It is, I have to say it again, absolutely fucking ludicrous that Christ did not pre-exist. There's way too many verses that say he did, and you have to twist the scripture and come up with fancy explanations and get all metaphysical and get all philosophical in order to prop that teaching up. It's AFL, and it's certainly CIO, because you're stripping Christ of his greatest glory of emptying himself, and you're stripping Christ of being the image of God, through whom God worked all things from the creation of the world. All is out of God, all is through Christ, 1 Corinthians 8:6. So yeah, the non-preexistence of Christ, AFL-CIO, big time. Now, here's the next question. Is there a difference between those teaching it and those believing it? I believe so. I have scriptural precedent for that. Scripture says that teachers are held to greater account. They are held to greater judgment. I think that's from James. But I pray that not many of you become teachers, because it's a very serious thing. And we know the Pharisees led their blind, leading the blind. So the leaders of these dissensions and these sects are held to account. So I believe that those teaching the sects are the ones who will not be enjoying an allotment. But then the question comes, well, Martin, what if they get everything else right and they just get this one thing wrong? Are you telling me that because they get this one thing wrong, even though it's an AFL-CIO, does that disqualify them from an allotment? That's a good question. And again, I am not sure. What's my opinion? My opinion is yes, it does. Because it's so freaking serious. It's AFL-CIO. But the allotment, I believe, it's just me again, my opinion. I don't have scripture on what I'm about to say, but I kind of have suggestive scripture. I think it's on a sliding scale. I think within the allotment, there are other allotments. And of course, anyone holding that position, it'll be burned up at the dais. So it'll be forfeited and there will be loss. So there may be loss involved there as far as a certain allotment within the allotment. I do believe there are allotments within the allotments within the body of Christ. There's definitely going to be loss there. So there will be loss of an allotment. Maybe not the allotment, but an allotment. That's all I'm willing to say at this time. And I know there were some of you who really wanted me to say that they're not in the body of Christ. They're not in the body of Christ, the people teaching these things. I can't go that far because I don't see it. I'm not even disqualifying people who believe in eternal torment from being in the body of Christ, as long as they believe that Christ died, that is, they unhand the Trinity, and as long as they believe that Christ died for their sins, that Christ died for their sins, therefore unhanding free will. Why does Satan invent eternal torment then? To drive people into free will. Free will is the killing teaching. Eternal torment is a doctrine of demons developed to drive normal people into human free will because that's the killing teaching. We can't hold God responsible for sending people to hell for eternity. We have to make it a matter of someone exercising their will, their free will, poorly. And the exception there being Calvinists, but Calvinists are not normal people. They have no problem attributing eternal torment of people to God. They have no problem with God purposely bringing people into this world and designating them beforehand to eternal torment. Calvinists are weird. They're freaks of nature. Stay away from them. It's weird. They're weirdos. That is insane teaching. Even Satan's scratching his head on that one. What the hell? I invented eternal torment to drive people to free will. These people still believe in the sovereignty of God while believing in eternal torment. Satan's even scratching his head on that one. What the fuck? He can't believe Calvinists. They're an anomaly. Freaks of nature. So why aren't they in the body of Christ? Because they believe in the Trinity. See, the Trinity does them in. No soup for you. There's another sect out there. It's a strange one. I heard about it several years ago, and it's come up again, that some people believe that the book of Revelation does not belong in the scripture. AFL-CIO. AFL-CIO. But do the people who believe it, are they missing out on the allotment? See, I don't think so. I think the people teaching it, the guy who wrote the book, Fred Harding, wrote a book saying that the book of Revelation does not belong in the scripture. It's AFL. So Fred Harding, if you're in the body of Christ, sir, I don't know. If you are in the body of Christ, forget your allotment. Forget it, sir. If you're not in the body of Christ, then, well, that'll be taken into account with all your other acts. And if your good acts outweigh your bad acts, welcome to the new earth. Otherwise, see you at the consummation. Have a nice nap. Beautiful thing about all this is that there are consequences, and that helps to know that, doesn't it? It helps me to know that there are consequences. The consequences don't touch aeonian life. They don't touch membership in the body of Christ, but they touch reward. They touch whether or not your work survives the dais where everyone's work will be tested by fire. Not literal fire, because the works are compared to wood, hay, straw. A work isn't hay. A work isn't straw. So that's figurative. So the fire that destroys the work, the wood, hay, and straw is also figurative. But there will be forfeit. And the people teaching these AFL doctrines, they're going to be relieved. It's like, oh, jeez. They tried to tell me, but that's okay. All good. Christ will say, you still have a pretty nice allotment over here. Not as good as maybe the one you would have had, but hey, this was your pre-designated thingy over here, right over there. Thank you, everyone's filled. Or there might not be an allotment because it's so freaking serious. That's the thing. I don't know. This is opinion. So, end of the week. I still haven't gotten to your questions on this subject of the allotment. I got so many other topics. I really want to get into the 7,000-year plan of God, as I said I would. Let me know in the comments what you want me to do. Because I listen to you, as you can tell. I've shown over the years that I listen to you. And if you really want something, if you have a question, if you want me to address something like this Galatians 5, I'm into it. I'm here to serve you. I have to like it too. That's another thing. I have to like it. And most of the things you suggest to me, I like. And I even comment on the things that, you know, I don't like, but I comment on them. And I once again, I must say here at the end of the week, I appreciate all the comments, even those people who disagree with me. You're allowed to disagree with me. Go for it. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I might disagree with your disagreement. I might agree with your disagreement. It's been known to happen. Yeah, could happen. So at the end of the week, I want to thank everyone who has supported this work. You know who you are. I can't do this without you. The word goes forth with power and has been going forth with power because of you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I apologize that I've not been getting thank you notes out to everybody. I'm emotionally tapped, but please let me thank you corporately. Now, I know who you are, so let me say thank you. I couldn't do this without you. We are fellow laborers together. You, me, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're the ones on the stage of life now. We're the ones given the grace to announce this gospel. Not everyone wants to announce it. Not everyone wants to get into the mix. But they can, and they do, support those who are announcing it. Grace and peace. And thank you.
Hey, you're right about the storm. We're getting nailed right now. Me and Manf are hiding under a tree. Manf, he's got to ride his motorcycle home. I don't know.
Might as well go, because it ain't going to get no...
You might as well go?
Yeah.
Okay, Manfred's crazy. He says, let's go for it. What the? Woo!
Ah, it's blowing right in our face, man. It's like a hurricane. What the fuck?
Woo!
What do you think about running?
Running sounds good.
How do you feel about that? All right, that's fun.